Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
First place type series against the Milwaukee Brewers. What happens this weekend? Well,
I think the Cubs win 2 out of 3.
I was going to say 2 out of 3 as well.
And the 0-2 pitch by Palencia. Swing and a miss, and the Cubs win the ballgame. It's all over. Palencia congratulated by his battery mate, Miguel Amaya. The rest of the Cubs start to congratulate one another, and the Cubs win it by a score of 5-0.
Yeah, I mean, we played a good game today. We played a solid series against another good team. And it's on to the next challenge. You know, that's it. It's May 5th. And there's a lot of challenges ahead of us. But we had a good challenge this weekend, and we played well through it.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Oh, what a glorious day. What a wonderful weekend of sports. Game 7's going on in various sports. Again, yesterday, a good one. And certainly, we saw both of our teams win series in baseball.
Morning, Mully. Yeah, it was
bizarre to say.
Good Monday way to kick off the week after really productive series victories for the Cubs. They needed that. And the White Sox, who saw that?
Oh, we saw it coming a mile.
Nobody
away.
Saw that one
Dustin
coming.
Dustin was cheering for him. That was
yeah,
the difference.
Yeah, that was a 3-hour rain delay on Saturday, which was very funny, very amusing. And then they win yesterday with the Garrett Crochet. Great outing. So the Cubs and Sox have good weekends. There was a derby involved. There were a lot of game sevens.
The most exciting 2 minutes in sports were the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. It wound up with a photo finish of three horses. First time that's happened since like 1940-something or other.
Yeah, long time ago.
Yeah.
Long time ago.
And a couple of horses were making like NASCAR, including our horse. They were swapping paint down the stretch. I mean, what the hell was that?
I don't think it was paint.
I couldn't believe there wasn't a steward's inquiry.
I think that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
That's exactly what was going through my mind.
I agree.
The good old steward's inquiry. What's that?
If it's a jockey objection, no worries.
Oh, I see.
But if it's a steward's inquiry, the stewards are watching the race.
Of course.
If there's a steward's inquiry, they'll take a horse down.
I'll say this. Everyone was watching the race. It was the largest TV audience since 1989, I believe.
Well, because it was the most exciting 2 minutes in sports.
It wasn't even the most exciting 2 minutes of my weekend, but I'll take your word for it.
Oh, it was. You didn't watch it? Did you see the result?
I did see the result.
Our guy,
of course
Mitch
I did.
Rosen.
Yes, I saw the result.
Mitch Rosen.
Everybody saw the result.
Was the man with the gold bar. He made a gold bar play.
Mm-hmm.
We had the 11, which was the horse between horses.
Okay.
And we hit the show pool, baby.
I saw that. I really appreciated the hard work that went into that research, into that bet, which made us a little money. But I don't understand the next phase of this.
The next phase is that I take over and I make the wager for the Preakness.
But I wonder why. That's what I don't
really
get. Why
would I take over?
No, you can take over. I would trust you.
You want to do it?
I would
go right ahead.
Oh, God, no. I would trust
you
with any horse racing expertise. My question is, and it stands from last year, which was never fully answered, why wouldn't you just take the money now?
Well, it's the we're doing a show pool for the Triple Crown. So there are three races involved.
But why is it the Triple Crown? Why isn't it just a Derby? You win, you take it, you're happy, go.
Well, now that you've won, you clearly want to cash. But the reality is the agreement, the implicit agreement made before you get in the show pool
is
that the show pool is going to continue to build. We're going to finish in the first three and the Kentucky Derby. We're going to do it in the Preakness, and then we're going to really bring it home in the Belmont. Belmont, by the way, Belmont Racecourse is under construction in New York.
Oh, goodness.
So the Belmont will be in Saratoga. Saratoga will host the Belmont this year.
Okay.
And it's shorter than usual, so you won't have to worry about your speed horse dying on that stretch, as many of the horses I've picked.
All right. Well, that's a good explanation.
It's a Triple Crown.
The question still stands. I did not read the fine print on the show pool entry.
The show pool is for the Triple Crown. It's not for one race.
I thought it was just one race.
Oh my gosh.
It was the same thing last year. We won.
2 years ago.
I haven't seen a dollar.
You bet the Preakness.
I have not seen a dollar. I'm in for this thing. All for the camaraderie. And
can you believe this?
Look at Mitch. I knew it would get Mitch in here.
You want me to buy you out?
Yeah.
No, I'm good.
Give us 30 back. He's out.
I don't want
the
30 back.
We should never have let him in, especially after Friday. He tried to jinx the whole damn thing.
I didn't jinx anything.
But Mitch was too good.
Okay. All right. It rolls over to the Triple Crown.
Now
I am fine.
We had $175 to bet. What did the horse pay? $150. Yeah.
Mitch kept the 25 as a commission.
It paid like five something, right? 528 was it, Dustin? Whatever it was.
Wow.
We've got that 75 times. So then that lump of money will go back in again.
Okay.
And we'll probably hit for $10 this time. That'll be another.
I'm in at this point. Okay. I'm in.
You're not getting out.
There's nothing. There's no getting out.
I love that Mitch will buy you out for the original 30. How that's a good buyout.
I'm fine.
That is a wise man. That's called world-class negotiation.
I am definitely in for the long haul.
You know what's interesting? And you might not find it interesting because you're not into this stuff. But already Mystic Dan, the winner, who won by a nose hair, right? He barely won. He just barely won that race. Had it been one more stride, I think he loses. He'd have lost on the nod maybe because that other horse was coming on pretty strong. But they've already said they're probably not going to run in the Preakness. Hmm. And the two who would have won the race, they said they're not going to run in the Preakness.
Load management?
I would doubt our – well, yes.
Okay.
Because it's such a quick turnaround, and you need to win all three, and there are a bunch of horses. For instance, Bob Baffert is banned from running horses at Churchill Downs after last year. Or it's a two-year ban, right? It's still going on. He's got this horse Muth, that they tried to get into the Derby, and the Derby, the Churchill Downs people said, no, that horse will be running in the Preakness. And I think he has two horses that he's bringing in to the Preakness. And then you'll see a bunch of horses either come back or open in the Belmont. It's kind of tough. You know, it's really hard these days to win a Triple Crown because those animals are so fragile. Those equine, those brilliant equine animals that you should interview some of those.
You're right. You're right.
Wilbur.
I don't find it terribly interesting.
Well, okay. That's all right. You got money in it, you'll find it interesting.
Oh, I do. Yes. And I apparently
and you can't get
I'm
out.
In for the long haul. That's good.
I love that Mitch offered you the buy.
He did.
Money back.
He's been very generous with the terms. but I'm just going to go along with it. It's kind of fun.
Anyway, it was exciting.
It's amusing seeing people's reaction to my indifference to horse racing.
Yeah.
I kind of get a kick out of that.
Did you get a lot of reaction? There was a lot of
hate. Yours is good enough.
No. Well, Dustin.
And Dustin, yeah.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
He reacted pretty
That's all that
vehemently.
Matters. No. Yeah, so quite a weekend. That was a good 2 minutes on Saturday. I had an interesting couple minutes on Friday.
Yes, I said to you this morning, I really thought there were certain things that were sacred in the world, and I didn't realize that David competing in sports was like highlight.
You were very funny with
you
that.
You gotta find out
but
who
you're
won
making
in
an assumption that I don't know that I can confirm or deny.
Okay,
you're making an assumption that arm wrestling is rigged.
No, I thought your arm wrestling was rigged.
Okay, so I arm wrestled.
Yes.
Travis Bajant on Friday night at NBC Sports Chicago.
Did you, though? Did you
yes,
really?
I did.
Yeah,
I did, Mully.
Did you feel it?
Oh, yeah, I did feel it. Actually, that's the thing is that the night of – so Friday night, I go to football night in Chicago. Travis Bajant was there with Tyson. We'll get to that in a second. And he brought his arm wrestling table.
Yes.
Which he never travels anywhere without.
Wow.
Because he's a world-class – what was he? World champion arm wrestler.
He's a world champion arm wrestler. Or are you? Do you have his crown?
Well, I'm wearing the
belt.
Did
you get a belt?
I got the belt. Yeah. So he set up, get there beforehand to kind of pre-tape and get ready for the 6 o'clock show. And yeah, he wanted to go.
He had you arm wrestle with him.
Yes, I arm wrestled with
him. And you had the wrong stance. I mean, the whole thing was so fixed. Those of us betting at home were very upset.
I know.
There's a steward's inquiry.
But there should be, because I won. And yeah. Then I celebrated.
You won.
I did.
I'm using air quotes. David won.
I won. But
you
I'll say this.
You didn't really celebrate. You just kind of stood there. I don't think you could lift your hand over
I
your
couldn't
head. That's
really.
What I said.
So we did a couple pre-trials to kind of get my, you know, get my
routine.
Form down.
Yeah.
So I could, you have to grip the knob and everything, and your feet have to be in the right spot, and mine weren't. And then I was practicing, and then, you know, after a couple practices, I felt like I was ready. And then we get to the, you know, we're doing it on the show itself, and I did it again, and then I'm done, and I literally, this is my shoulder was sore.
Oh,
my shoulder was sore.
I don't know how it couldn't be.
And, you know,
it's just not a normal action, and against a guy that is kind of like a brick wall.
He was a fascinating, funny, charismatic guy. He's born to perform somewhere, and he's definitely well equipped for his traveling arm wrestling road show. But he'd let me win.
Well, after
he let me win,
after
I know it's a shock to people.
After you won, I wonder if he offered to do it again for like $500. If ever there was like a pool game going on there,
I know. But that was the bit he was promoting his contest on Saturday. They had an event, and if anybody beat him, they won $10,000.
Oh, so he was trying to set
yeah.
them up.
So I beat him, and I wanted $10,000.
Yeah.
And then his son, obviously Tyson, was there too. Father and son, at least out in that setting, could not have been more different.
Mm.
You really couldn't stop Travis from talking.
Yeah, the father was the showman.
He was very reserved.
He begrudgingly said he liked Secret Bajant, but he really basically was reading the playbook, if I heard
the Bajancy was open, but he was not exactly a willing participant. He was good enough.
Looking to make the team.
He's going to make the team. You know I'm the president of the Bajancy.
Did you tell him that?
I don't think I said that on the air. I don't know if I did. I say that on the air. I might have said that.
You should get a cut of his check because you're the president of the agency and you, the old man, owes you $10,000.
Well, I think he does owe me $10,000. So, and I know where he lives, and I know now I know how to get a hold of him.
He was
a good sport. He was a very good. But Molly, the thing is that about Tyson Bajant and his father, the traveling roadshow that is Travis Bajant, they have their own videographer.
Really?
So there was somebody there.
It's like a wedding.
Videotaping. And then afterward, they were doing the download in the green room about what just happened. So they had their own videographer.
And what did he say happened?
I didn't hear that part because I was still in the studio. They went to the green room and talked about me. or the experience.
Oh, they should have taped it.
Can you believe those questions? Can you believe that guy?
I can't believe that no one at NBC Sports Chicago left something running while they were talking.
Secret Bajent 17. The Bajency is open. Bajent Orange. The Bajent of Change.
Wow.
Wow.
You got a little carried away.
Okay. That. It's TV.
You love that story.
I did love that story.
Yeah.
I did love that story. It was a good story.
It was a great story.
And he's very...
He's very much replaced.
He's very much replaced by Caleb Williams, but he is the veteran Bears backup right now.
Caleb Williams at the Cub game.
How about that? Okay, we can transition to that because enough with the arm wrestling.
Yeah, no, I love the arm wrestling.
I know.
I'm willing to go
day. I know. I'm done.
First thing I said to you this morning.
I'm sore and I'm done. It was fun, though. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, it was great television.
So Caleb Williams at Wrigley Field was a thing. I mean, it became this
it was great.
Viral moment. And it shows you just how desperate Chicago is for a sports star.
Caleb Williams in the house.
It was like there was like a buzz, like Caleb Williams, and then everyone started cheering. So he had to like stand up and wave, which was hysterical. There was also a cheer in the bleachers of Green Bay Sox. Apparently, Chicago still has a bit of a rivalry going on with the Packers. I don't know if you're aware.
That's good.
I don't know if the Bears are aware.
Well,
they haven't beaten them.
The chants have been breaking out at Wrigley. Green Bay sucks. But that's what Caleb Williams was. It was before the draft, and he was there, and obviously
good for him.
Created a buzz. And it was a good day to be at the ballpark.
Oh, beautiful day.
Another right-hander did pretty well on the mound, Jameson Taillon. He was good.
Yeah.
He was good. And then yesterday, Assad was even better.
Assad has been fantastic. We ought to talk more about Assad, and we ought to talk more about the guys who have pitched so well while the Cubs have started without a lot of their rotation, which, by the way, back tonight, baby, right? Justin Steele will take the mound.
This feels like opening day 2.0.
Oh, wait, let's not hit that.
This is opening day 2.0. Now, not because he's going to get.
Oh,
I don't mean he's going to.
Oh, that's
no.
How dare you bring that up?
No, not like that. But you've got a moment at Wrigley Field that is a marquee moment, if you will. It's going to be on the radio too, but it is a marquee moment. Yu Darvish, Justin Steele, ace versus ace. Ace versus ace. That's a big deal tonight.
They should bring Owen Casey up just to play, to show that they don't miss.
Because that's who they got in the Darvish deal?
He was one of those scratch-offs, right?
I think if Owen Casey were ready, he would have been called up. But they want to keep him down there. I get that. Be patient with him. But this is a big deal.
Yep, no doubt about it. Good to see Yu Darvish back, Dustino.
No.
Yeah. Will they play a tribute video?
I think they've already done that.
Okay. This
I don't
is
think
a,
they do it for the second time.
This is a great series.
This
is what I mean in terms of like the playoff look of a series. I know it's early May, and Craig Counsell's right yesterday, says it's too early to announce or pronounce anything being as significant as we want it to be. It's way too early. But when you look at Darvish and the matchups they have, Dylan Cease is pitching Wednesday.
Yeah.
And isn't Musgrave pitching tomorrow? I think it says TBD, but I think he's scheduled. This is a great series for Cub fans and baseball fans.
Yeah.
Two good teams.
It should be good.
The Padres, they get a rise. And what's he doing his first game? Four hits.
Yeah.
Four hits.
He's good.
And they're loaded. And they're finally playing the way
they've been loaded forever.
Yeah, but they didn't really live up to that.
No, they didn't.
Expectation or meet their potential last year. This is a team that is probably
maybe now better pitching.
You can't say it's talented than any team in that division because the Dodgers are the Dodgers.
They've rated Chicago pitching.
They have rated Chicago pitching. It would be cool start on Wednesday for Dylan Cease. He's got to be a moment for him. And Darvish,
former Cub, going back to his original team.
It is two former Cubs on the mound, on the bump, if you will. On the bump this weekend, or this week, this series. Darvish and Dylan Cease. So you got Justin Steele, Mm-hmm. And then tomorrow is the Shota show. That's going to be something.
He's
Shota
been
Imanaga.
Their best pitcher. Javier Assad might be their second best pitcher. I'm saying
well,
thus
I don't know.
Far.
We'll talk about it. But,
he's been real
but
good.
We'll present this tonight, and it will be packaged as the Cubs get their ace back in Justin Steele. But really, who's their ace? Who is the Cubs' ace? Jameson Taillon has been lights out since he returned.
He's been great.
And he pitched again very well on Saturday. Look at Assad. You're exactly right. His ERA is microscopic over the last year, and he is dealing. And he did it again yesterday. And then Shota has been the best pitcher in baseball. Justin Steele comes back. Is he better than them?
Well, he's the opening day starter.
But that seems like a long time ago. I hope he is as ace caliber as he has been in the past. But that is that's a great rotation right now.
We'll have to make predictions on how long he goes and how many runs he
gives
up,
etc. I think this is the first time. There's a statistic out there that there's three straight starters. You know, they didn't give up a run to the Brewers. Cubs starting pitchers did not give up a run, and all of them went at least six innings.
Yeah,
I think it's the first time that's happened since 2019.
Well, sadly, the relievers or a reliever gave
up
some runs on Friday.
That was rough.
That was very tough.
Admit it, Dustin. After Friday, you thought it could be a long weekend. It looked like it was going to be one of those weekends.
Yeah, I was incensed on Friday. And then Saturday was looking like it was way too easy to the point that I almost turned it off until I actually did turn it off because I couldn't take it anymore when Heart Attack Hector was in there in the ninth.
Is that the new nickname?
I like that. Heart Attack, what happened on that third? What? What'd you call
it? I thought it was going to stand for just Hector Nervous.
And they could have swept that series. They could have easily lost two out of three. Right? That's
the thing. Right? If you were greedy for a sweep, you also should remember they were very close to losing two out of three.
Mm-hmm.
So they will take this and gladly move on. Dansby Swanson, huge, huge day yesterday.
Yeah, finally.
Finally.
Right? They worked with the hitting coach, and he had a breakout game, and they were talking. They seemed like they were so delighted about it.
He got
a little tap on the arse.
It was so great. I think he felt so much pressure.
Yes.
And I was listening to Pat and Ron and Zach all day because I was doing a lot of yard work. And Pat Hughes, after Dansby Swanson made that great play in the first, then he made another good play in the fourth. Pat said something to the effect of, you know, Ron, sometimes when players make great plays in the field, they bring that confidence to the plate. Then all of a sudden, a couple innings later, boom!
Goes the diamond.
Dansby Swanson hits a home run. Thank you, Pat Hughes. This is why you're in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That was great.
It was good. And he had a couple of phenomenal plays.
That throw, he did the one hopper on purpose.
Yeah, I know. That was really good.
Isn't that cool?
Well, he's, you know, I think Pat said at one point as well that, you know, unless you've played that position, you can't really appreciate some of the things he's able to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I was never a shortstop, but I could appreciate the things he can do. I think because I couldn't do any of that.
Not many people can. No. He received his gold glove on Saturday for a reason.
That's right.
So it was fun. White Sox, two out of three. You had to enjoy that a little bit.
Did I?
A little bit. I'm asking, I guess. I should assume.
I watched.
Come on, the Brian Ramos promotion, that got you a little interested, didn't it?
No. Brian Ramos was brought up because of injury. Nothing to do with him being ready for the big leagues. We'll see how it goes. But
wow.
I mean, no. Nothing they do.
You really can't have nice things.
No. I mean, it's been stolen from me. I feel like...
Your youth.
I feel...
Your youth has been stolen from you.
I feel like the season has. And I feel like, you know, I know no one wants to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if they had, like, a different manager, they would have, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 wins. They'd just have more wins. You know, it's you see them get to 8 wins. Okay. Well, that's fine. But Really?
It's a slog.
It's a slog.
It's a slog. They have to start. They have to start small.
We should find all the audio. Did you hear him about the rain delay?
I didn't hear the rain delay. No, I didn't hear any of that stuff. Okay. Well, the Sox have got to get to the point where they're not talking about having the worst season ever.
They had,
okay, can we agree on that?
Well, I mean, they got to stop having the worst season ever. Is what
well, they've won 5 of 9. Get to the point, win 5 of your next 9, or go on a winning streak, and then so we can
and
stop
then,
this historical
trade everybody.
Comparison. Well, there's not really that
literally
many people
anybody,
to trade.
Anyone you can.
There's not anybody
not
to trade.
Down
well, Bob Nightingale told us literally like they're trading everybody. They haven't even had your favorite pitcher pitch for them yet, and he's going to be traded before the end of the season.
Right. Who's my favorite pitcher?
Come on, who's your favorite White
Sox my
pitcher?
Gosh, he's pitching tonight. That clown.
Well, I'm saying he hasn't pitched yet, but yesterday in the notes column,
yes,
Bob Nightingale told us that Mike Clevinger was part of basically every guy that's thrown a ball for the Sox this year going out the door.
They can trade him tomorrow.
The only guy they're not going to move is Garrett Crochet.
Yeah. All right.
Everybody else, I think, is available if you want them.
Yeah.
Gavin
Sheets. Garrett Crochet.
Yeah, there's already been a lot of Eric Fetty rumors. There's
Fetty, Flexen, Clevinger, yes. Kopech, and Aloy, according to Nightingale, are all
of course.
On the way
how about
out.
Soroka?
See how it goes tonight, right?
Why not?
You just didn't make the list.
I don't think anyone wants them.
Does anybody want any of the players you just mentioned?
Well, I don't know what they want. Well, no.
Some of them, maybe. No. Everybody's going to want
unlikely.
Luis Robert Jr., maybe
well,
Clevinger.
Yeah, but he's
Tommy
not
Pham.
On the list.
Tommy Pham.
Tommy Pham would
he's,
be.
He's at the top of the list. Yeah, Tommy Pham.
He's the first guy.
You're not going to get much for these guys.
You think?
Not going to get much.
Oh, yeah. Wait till Bleacher Report gets a hold of that kind of league system. See, now there you go. You just caused
You're just
trouble.
Being mean.
Now you're being mean.
You're just being mean.
I didn't even
you
bring
said
it
I
up.
Was a fraud,
you
and now you're being mean.
I didn't say you were a fraud. I said I was proud.
You said I fixed the arm wrestling.
All right. It's Mully and Highlight. We're going to get to the... We're going to get to the Pick Six next on Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
How important was the Cubs' weekend series victory over the Brewers, especially after losing Game 1 the way they did? What was your main takeaway from the weekend's wins, and where is this team situated at this point?
Well, it's very early. I mean, we got to remember how early it is. But I think the Cubs are a hell of a baseball team. I think they are situated very well. I think what is so attractive about them is their youth. And I think that when you look over the entire weekend, they got, you know, Bellinger is coming back. He will be back fairly soon. I think he may be back by the end of the week, if I am not mistaken.
They both ran and hit before the game.
And that's kind of extraordinary. There's rumors about the hitters coming back. There's rumor, you know, we're seeing the pitching coming back, and there's rumors about them making a move with a closer. So bully for all of it. You know, I think we have discovered that this team is situated better than we imagined coming into it. I thought they should have swept Milwaukee. They really should have swept them. That first game was kind of a travesty, and it was a pity, frankly, that you wind up with more damage done to a guy than had previously been done. It feels like that one is quickly falling off the ledge, talking about Edward Elzeli, and we'll get into that later.
Well, they're in a virtual tie for first place, and they've done that with four whole innings from their top starting pitcher. Four innings pitched. They've done it with about half of those games with Cody Bellinger and Seiya Suzuki in the lineup. They've done it with Ian Happ not being able to slug. So the fact that they're where they're at, I think, is a testament to Craig Counsell. I really have to tip the cap. And the starting pitching overall. And some starters that we didn't think were going to be starting. I mean, Jordan Wicks has been out for half of this as well, right? I mean, nobody saw Javier Assad was the borderline fifth starter or bullpen guy, long relief guy kind of thing.
Two years in a row.
Right. I mean, that was a question.
Yeah.
And now, arguably, with, you know, Shota Imanaga, the National League Rookie Pitcher of the Month, you know, who should be the Pitcher of the Month, let alone, you know, and maybe Javier Assad should get some, you know, Pitcher of the Month considerations.
No doubt about it.
Right? So, I mean, it's pretty amazing. It really is. It's pretty amazing. They are if I lived in Milwaukee, I would say that the Cubs were in second place, but I live in Chicago, thankfully not Milwaukee, so they're in a virtual tie.
First place Cubs, we can refer to them as. They are the first place Cubs because they're in a tie. Virtual
percentage points behind.
Whatever you want to say. They're for the first place Cubs. You're right, because we're in Chicago. It's provincial. We can take it and run with it. It's okay. I think we have to start looking at this Cub team, if we haven't already. Some of us have referred to them as a World Series contender.
Mm.
If you get to the World Series, you can win it. That's grasping the obvious. But the Diamondbacks did it last year. The Cubs are good enough to do it this year. They are. How many blown saves have they had? Six? Elzeli has had four himself, I believe. If they get help in the bullpen, late inning help, whether it's internal or from outside, this is a team that is going to win the division, get to the playoffs, and make some noise in October. They're that good. Craig Counsell has solidified things, I think. You don't have as many questions about the way the game is managed anymore or the lineups are constructed. They're paying him what they're paying him for a reason. The starting pitching, statistically, is as good as any in the National League, I think, when you look at what they're capable of. And over the weekend, according to Chris Camper, this is the only time from 1901 to the present that the Cubs have played a series of three or more games and had a start of six or more scoreless innings in each game. And that was done with Wesneski, Taillon, and Assad. That's not even their best pitchers on paper. This is a playoff team. Could be even bigger than that.
You have to ask hard questions.
What do you expect to see from Justin Steele tonight in a showdown against Yu Darvish and those Padres? How many innings will he go? How many runs will he allow? Can the Cubs win?
I really am excited about this series. Said tonight is Steele versus Darvish, a battle of aces, and you wonder if Steele is still the ace. That's a great debate or problem to have. And then tomorrow, Musgrave and Shota, and then Dylan Cease on Wednesday. That'll be a lot of fun to see him at Wrigley Field. But I think the Cubs, you have to feel like they're on a little bit of a roll, even though the Padres are coming in hot, too. They got a rise. He'll probably get, like, in three games, we'll have, like, a dozen hits or 10 hits. Is he going to get 10 hits? What's the over-under? But this is a good offensive team. They're going to pitch well. I think the Cubs still can take two out of three because they play well at Wrigley Field, and they are getting great starting pitching. Would you like maybe Council to push his starters a little bit more? I don't know how long Justin Steele goes tonight, but let's say five. He's going to go five and dive, and the Cubs will protect the lead. And Christopher Morel, I think he's going deep again off of Darvish.
Well, I'd love to see that, no doubt about that. I 70 pitches max, I would say, 70 for Justin Steele. Hopefully that means he gets into the fifth. We'll have to wait and see. They definitely have upped their offense with that trade. That kind of shocked me, to be honest, what they had to give up. It was their eighth best prospect. Now, they gave up three or four players, their eighth best prospect, and they're paying the freight. The Padres are only paying the league minimum part of the contract.
And there's still $3 million under the tax threshold.
But he's aggressive. We need to talk about his approach to the trade deadline later.
But Yu Darvish is good. Is he going to be good in his return? That's the thing. The only time he was good at Wrigley was when it was the COVID year. And he pitched in front of nobody.
He went eight innings.
And he pitched in front of nobody.
And allowed one run.
I'm gonna cross my fingers and toes and hope the Cubs win tonight. Can they win? Sure. Will they win? We'll have to wait and see. I predicted they only win one of these three
games.
You did? On the Fly the W podcast. This is tough pitching matchup.
Little faith.
Tough pitching matchups. Dylan Cease has been really good. You don't hear much.
They'll win that
West.
One. Padres could win that one.
Yeah, I think Justin Steele goes four innings. I think four innings is a good way to look at it. I hope that they are approaching it that way and they have Wesneski or if it's Brown, whoever it is, they've got another four innings right after him. And then it'd be nice to kind of approach it that way. I don't think he gets five full innings. Just because I think you're right, Dustin. I think – what did he pitch in the minors, like 67
63
innings?
Or something. They wanted to get him in the 60s. Yeah. That was the goal. And I think that's why he's now making this start at this level, because he was able to get to those 60 pitch is in that minor league stint.
Yeah,
I don't think it'll be Ben Brown. He pitched a bullpen on Sunday. Wesneski slated to go against Cease on Wednesday. Maybe somebody to back up or piggyback.
I think he's more
Steele.
Of an opener, whether anyone wants to admit it or not. It'd be great. If you got five innings out of him, it would be great.
Well, Luke Little hasn't pitched in a while, it seems like, if you want to stick with the lefty thing. I haven't seen Luke.
What is Sir Lovelady up to?
Lovely lady.
I'm done with that guy.
Lady love. Yikes. Yeah, I don't know.
Again, I won't tell you I completely know the answer to that question.
All right. Well, who do you blame for Adbert Alzolay's meltdown on Friday afternoon, the Cubs' only loss in the Brewers series? Is it all on him, another blown save, this time against an infield single attack? Or do you blame manager Craig Counsell for putting him in that spot in the first place? Is it time to create an injury and send him to the pitch lab?
I am very worried about Adbert Alzolay. I felt like, he was, I don't want to say he was the victim of, but he was giving up a home run. That was his problem. He was giving up a home run. He was giving up a home run. What happened on Friday was, it was like a bunch of kind of seeing eye singles, infield hits. It wasn't, no one really cracked the ball on him. Right? I mean, the exit velocity was in the 80s on all those hits. But it seems like his confidence now is shaken. You go from being the closer and you're going to be the man and then you have bumps in the road, and now you're back in a high leverage situation. And I understood, you know, they had used up a lot of pitching, and they didn't want to go to they only had a couple of arms available to them, and they thought he was the best option. Clearly, he wasn't. And it, you know, I feel like Council's reaction to it made me feel Council felt it was his fault. Do you know what I mean? Like, the way that he talked about it made me feel like he felt some culpability on the whole thing. And they've got to figure out something. He's got no options left. You can't send him back down, and they're going to have to fix him in some fashion. How's his back holding up? You feel any tweaks at all? They need to fix him.
So the way he explained it, and I'm glad that they asked, I was begging for them to ask, being the media, and they did, and he explained it. That doesn't mean I have to like the explanation, talking about, well, this guy's never gone back-to-back, and that guy's never gone back-to-back, and the idea was he was going to get two outs, hopefully, and then they're going to bring in Mark Leiter Jr., for a four-out save. Well, first you got to get to that point in order to get. So, and they're also, it was the top of the Brewers' order. So after he failed to get the first two outs, which was the goal, get the first two outs, then hand it to, that's when he should have made the move. He didn't have to go any farther than that. And he can't hold anybody on base on top of it.
That was the most galling thing.
I mean, they're stealing base. I think I could have stolen a base.
The three stolen bases was as bad as anything, right?
Right? I mean, so at the end of the day, he gave him the ball. He needs to go out there and get some outs. I just don't understand a high leverage situation. It was almost, you know, you kept hearing from Council, and I'm sure he's happy the Cubs took two or three, but he kept leaning on it's early. Almost like, well, okay, we'll see what he can do. And if he can't, he can't. I would be surprised. Either Adbert Alzolay or this other guy, this Colton Brewer, are probably one or the other is the guy that's going down today in order to make room for Justin Steele. That's what I would think.
I think it'll be Colton Brewer. I don't think they're going to be able to send Alzolay down. I don't know that he has options.
Well, what if he had a back strain in his bullpen yesterday?
Well, then that may be the solution.
Just like Kyle Hendricks.
I think that would be a reasonable solution because it's a remedy. You need to find him a reason to get a respite. He needs time off. He needs to recover in not only his stuff but his confidence. You know, his last six outings, he surrendered 9 runs with 9 hits, more walks than strikeouts, 3-2. Over the year, he's given up 5 homers and 13 innings. He gave up 5-64 last year. This is a guy who clearly is struggling. Craig Council's walking a fine line, and it's difficult. And I didn't like it that on Friday, but I think that he's also cognizant of how early it is, and you're going to need him. He's right. What Craig Council said post-game after the booing commenced, and there was booing, that they're going to need Adbert Alzolay. I understand that. So you got to try to get him fixed. I think the way to fix him might be to rest him and to figure out what's going on with that slider. It's not working the way that it used to work. This is not acceptable. The Cubs' standards and expectations are higher, and they've got to be. So I don't know what role he plays. I'm not sure he's going to have a role. But teams can win without the starter that they started the season with. We have an example in town that celebrated a World Series in 2005. There are other examples since then, but they've got to get Alzolay going.
You have posed a question, Mully.
What do you think of Eloy Jimenez homering 4 times in the last 13 games? At what point are we allowed to be intrigued by the potential of a guy with amazing talent who can't stay healthy?
Oh, not yet. I'm not falling for that again. If I do, just wake me up and just, you know, smack me around like Travis Bajant, you know, just take me down. Don't let me fall for that trap again. I don't want to believe in Eloy Jimenez. 4 homers in 13 games. All right, big deal. I hope he gets to the point where he's hitting homers where people look at that and they are impressed like other teams, because at this stage of this historically bad start to the season that the White Sox are in, Eloy Jimenez's biggest value to them is as a trade piece. and to bring somebody in return who will actually be good and healthy and on the field when the White Sox are good again. That's not anytime soon. So, Aloy, I hope he keeps home ring. I really like his personality, but I'm not falling for it.
Let's hope another general manager falls for it, right, if you're a Sox fan. I mean, right now, what, Aloy's probably a $5 scratch-off ticket as far as what you're going to get back in prospect value. So if he keeps up the power, you don't have to play him in the field. And if he stays healthy, then, you know, maybe he gets up to a $25 scratch-off come the All-Star break. We'll see, have to wait and see.
Big lottery theme today.
Yeah. I'm still trying to work out how I'm supposed to treat you if you floor for Aloy again. We're supposed to let you win that argument, Travis.
See, you see it as, style. You see it as letting me win. I see it as my arm still hurts. So I feel like I was abused.
Oh, that's great. I'm just having fun with that, and I always will. And I loved coming in and making a high-lie reference to you when we first were greeting each other from the weekend. Yeah, I got to tell you, Aloy has always been an elite offensive player when he's been healthy. And it's the prepositional phrase there at the end that is just the reality of his career. I don't argue with what you say his value is, Dustino, but if I were a Major League Baseball team and I was looking for some offensive help, if you bring in a guy like him, who, again, would have no pressure to be the producer of offense like he has here in Chicago, I think that guy could do a ton of damage. You add him to a good lineup, Aloy is a seriously good hitter, a very good power hitter, and always has been. He just can't stay on the field. But if you don't need him on the field and you can just use him in different situations, I think he could be an unbelievable steal come draft time. I mean, a guy like that with no pressure on him, just the reality is the Sox should have traded him 2 years ago plus. At some point, while you're busy arguing that he's not injury prone, you should have gotten rid of him when he really had value.
That was a fun debate.
And now it's just everybody knows that there's the danger of running to first base here.
We will open up for questions now.
Why did the White Sox call up Brian Ramos from AA? Yes, Danny Mendick had an injury and Lenin Sosa's injured down at AAA, but is calling up a top prospect from AA persistent, or is that panicky?
Well, it's not prescient. It's not panicky either. You know, they don't have a lot of guys. They don't have a lot of players, right? I mean, you know, think about it for a second. They thought they were in good shape at third base, but they made a trade at the end of last year, and Yoan Moncada is pretty much out for this season and out for his career. And so Danny Mendick comes up, and he's doing a decent job. He's filling a hole, and Danny Mendick has been a very rank-and-file type baseball guy.
Yep.
For him. You know, I honestly, I like him. But he gets hurt. You know, you're down players. So you got Brian Ramos, who is like a very highly regarded and has been for a while member of their, you know, what is he, the second or third prospect? So they're like, okay, let's try him. So let's bring him up. I don't think he's here for the whole year. I think he's filling in for injury. But I also don't think they feel he's graduated to the major leagues. I think he was just the best option after the injury bug and all the rest of it. And I think that at some point they're going to have to start bringing people up. At some point they're going to have to, you know, it's weird that they're more concerned seemingly with Colson Montgomery and they might not bring him up this year, whatever. But they're more than happy to bring up Brian Ramos. Very interesting. But I really think it's injury related. They wouldn't have brought him up just based on how he was raking in Birmingham.
Well, it's something we definitely can ask Kurt Bloom about, right? 9 o'clock, he can tell us a little bit more about Brian Ramos. They were desperate, and they're hopeful that he can do it at this level, right? I mean, I get not bringing up the top guys. I understand that. Don't get the clock started and all that other stuff. But, you know, why not? Why, you know, he's big on this whole player development thing, and this is a guy in their system. Okay, let's see how you're developing him.
Just to, for sake of accuracy, Dustin, it's hard to keep track, but Luke Little is at Iowa. He pitched yesterday for the Iowa Cubs.
Ah.
So that's why he wasn't available.
There's another option, not an option.
Unless he makes the, you know, shuttle back.
I mean, maybe they make two moves today, right?
He could be here by lunch. Right. So back to the Sox.
Lovelady is the lefty now, man. Okay.
Richard Lovelady.
Sir Lovelady. Richard Lovelady, please. Brian Ramos is an exciting player. I don't necessarily agree, Dustin, that bringing him up is maybe part of the development plan or would be a good example of it. I almost think it does seem a little bit of an overreaction. I know that they have maybe limited options at AAA, but this is a guy's fourth-ranked prospect in your system. If he comes up and fails, you risk damaging his confidence, and organizations are always worried about the prospect psyche. You know, you talk about, we look at PCA, Pete Crow Armstrong, came up last year, really struggled at the plate and had an off season where he had to wear that and he had to own that. And Cubs executives worried about that. So Brian Ramos, I hope he continues what he started. He had a hit yesterday. He had a sacrifice fly. He looks the part. He's very physical. He's athletic. I like a little thing about him. He's a Cuban who comes to the White Sox, and he does his interviews in English. And he's a young man that's confident enough that he tries that. And you know what? That's a little thing. But I think it says a lot about the way he's matured and what confidence he does have. So I really hope that this is a move that pays off. I'm a little skeptical only because you don't see AA prospects promoted like this unexpectedly. But let's hope it works because the White Sox could use some good news.
Yeah, I think that's a good question.
It made quite an impression when Caleb Williams was introduced Saturday at Wrigley Field during the Cubs-Brewers game, with a rousing ovation, a fun reaction from the Bears quarterback. It also begs the question, is Williams already the most popular athlete in Chicago? If not, who is, and how will that immediate acceptance affect Williams' development, or will it play no role whatsoever?
Well, I wonder if he'll be given the benefit of the doubt if he struggles because he is so popular. I don't think there's any doubt or question that that reaction sort of implied that he is the most popular athlete in Chicago right now as we speak. Name anybody else. DeMar DeRozan? Alex Caruso? I mean, not good guys. Quality professionals. Are they going to get that kind of ovation at Wrigley? I doubt it. There's so much hope invested in Caleb Williams that it makes him popular. Hope is popular. And everybody wants to believe in something. And it's easy to believe in Caleb Williams. So right now, there's nobody on the Sox that qualifies. The Cubs, well, you know, I guess, no.
Brian Ramos, you just mentioned.
He's good. Come on.
Joke.
But the Cubs have a lot of popular players. I don't know if anybody exceeds Caleb Williams' popularity. Connor Bedard is on a similar track, but he's a hockey player.
And he's younger.
And he's younger.
And he's going to grow up in front of us.
Yeah, so that's... It's a fun thing to point out, but yeah, I loved the way the Cubs fans embraced and greeted Caleb Williams on his first trip to Wrigley. I loved even more the X photo of Caleb Williams in the parking lot at Vernon Hills Target. Already worried, concerned about his Target.
I do think Caleb Williams is the most popular athlete in town right now because hope sells, and it sold a lot of jerseys. He beat Caitlin Clark's record for jersey sales, something that we talked quite a bit about. And where do you think all those jerseys were sold to? I would, assuming Bears fans, right? They weren't just fantasy football players or fans of USC. They were sold to Bears fans. But the leash will be very, very short. I mean, the first time he throws an interception, the first time he fumbles a ball, there'll be people calling for David's favorite guy, Tyson Bagent, to get into the game.
That won't happen. That will not happen.
You want to bet?
I will bet you.
You don't think we'll get a call or a text saying bench this guy and put Bajan in?
We may get a call or a text.
Okay, that's
my point.
It's
not going to be a loud call.
Not going to write a column on it is what you're saying.
No.
Okay.
I think that Caleb Williams is the most popular athlete in Chicago for exactly the reason, because of hope. I think that he will remain the most popular athlete in Chicago if he plays well, if the hope is delivered upon. I don't know if that's going to happen immediately or if it's going to take a year. I actually think he's going to probably have a better season than some people suspect. I think they're going to be pretty good. I think their offense, they got a lot of weaponry, and if they can protect him, it's going to be a fun season. So I'm looking forward to seeing Caleb Williams pretty much more than any athlete since, Connor Bedard. I think Bedard is the guy that has the – I think Bedard I can't believe I'm going to say this, and everyone's going to have fun with me, but that's a guy who's on a Hall of Fame track already. He's going to win the Rookie of the Year. We see what he can do. He's also a gym rat. We already know a lot about his personality. I think we're going to watch him get better and better and better. And in, 3 or 4 years, he's going to be as good a hockey player as there is in the NHL.
That's
it. I think he's that guy. He really is that
guy. I agree with that. Isn't it fun to consider, though, in 3 or 4 years, we could be looking at a top five quarterback in the NFL and a top five NHL player in Connor Bedard.
And I'll tell you something else. There was a moment yesterday where your guy, Pete Crow Armstrong, got on base it was basically an infield grounder. He gets on base and he steals second. That guy is going to be a seriously good baseball player. When you tap into what he can do with his speed and you make that a regular part of his offense, he's going to be really good, Dustin. You're not wrong about him being a good player. I don't know that he's ever going to hit for power or be a guy that has a lot of – but it reminds me a little bit of Tim Anderson and his ability to get on base and then wreak havoc when he gets on base, and you don't want that guy on base. I thought that yesterday at one moment.
It's a good thought.
It's a happy thought.
It also is a thought that Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins can't ignore when they're considering what to do when the two outfielders come back. It's
definitely something to consider. Speed kills. 312-644-6767. We've got the extra point next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Get this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
What do you make of the four-letter network's fantasy football ratings of the Bears' wide receiver core? DJ Moore ranked 21st among all NFL receivers. Keenan Allen, 32nd. Roma Dunze, 46th. Does that sound about right in terms of ball distribution?
Probably a safe bet that DJ Moore is going to get the most targets. Keenan Allen would be second, and maybe Roma Dunze third. That seems like a very... equitable distribution, 21st, 32nd, 46th. It's a good spacing there. I wouldn't be shocked if Roma Dunze I wouldn't be shocked if Roma Dunze emerges as a weapon that is more dangerous than maybe Keenan Allen in terms of big play explosiveness. That's what he's here for. That's what we've seen, and certainly the 50-50 balls, the number of catches he's had over 20 yards at Washington in his last season there, Keenan Allen is the guy that I think will become, as many have projected, you know, the third down option, a short passing game option, reliable, dependable. I think it will be Shane Waldron's responsibility to make sure that it is that equitable, maybe in that pecking order, to keep everybody happy. You have confidence that Shane Waldron's done this before in Seattle with having three guys over 60 catches. I don't think either DJ Moore or Keenan Allen will have to catch 1,200 yards worth of passes this year. And that may hurt their, you know, stature. It may hurt their postseason, you know, accolade possibility. But I also think it will help the Bears win, and that's all that matters. So I think, yeah, 21st, 32nd, and 46th for those three in that order makes sense to me.
Well, I think from a fantasy standpoint, I think Roma Dunze has a much higher ceiling than Keenan Allen. I think, you know, when you're talking about a Dunze, I think you're talking about some home run balls. I think you're talking about some long, you know, Keenan Allen's going to be possession if you're playing in a league where you get points per reception. I think Keenan Allen's probably pretty good. I also think locally, right? I mean, there's no chance in your drafts that Roma Dunze will be the 46th wide receiver picked in a draft in the Chicagoland area, especially based on our last question of the pick six about Caleb Williams' popularity, right? So we'll have to wait and see. And give me another maybe two or three on paper wide receiver rooms better than the Bears. You know, who's got a better third receiver than Roma Dunze out there? I'd like to see that list.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's their third receiver. That would be my only problem with this. I think that he and Keenan Allen need to be closer. I think he's too far. I think he's too low at 46. I think I'd take him earlier than that because I think he's, you know, his contested ball stuff in college tells you he's going to go and get the football and he's going to win a lot of battles, and that makes quarterbacks love a guy when a guy can do stuff like that. He's developing a good rapport even as we speak with Caleb Williams. Just mentally, they're thinking of each other. I think Williams is going to have a good year, and I think the Bears are going to have a really good year. And I think that receiving core, Dustin, you said it. I mean, if that's your third receiver, holy cow, are you good. That kid is a seriously good player, top 10 NFL draft pick. And, you know, there'll be twists and turns. You know, we'll be seeing different things happen that you don't anticipate. But I've got a feeling that, I mean, at this point, I'm feeling really upbeat about the Bears and what they can do. I also think, from a numbers perspective, that it's fair to say that DJ Moore would rank 21st. I just think he's better than that. I think he's better. I think he's a top 15, if not top 10 receiver in the NFL.
That's why I don't know what criteria they're using. This is a fantasy football ranking. So
yes,
you know that it's mostly about touchdowns. And I don't know if DJ Moore, 21st, is that out of whack, I suppose. I think he'll be more productive with the receptions and the yards than he might be in the touchdowns. In the red zone, Roma Dunze probably does emerge as a bigger threat.
Keenan Allen could catch touchdowns too.
Yeah.
You know
they all
I mean?
Can.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of how defenses adjust to the two veterans and what that means to the rookie and how often they play with all three of them on the field at the same time, which I think will be the majority of the time.
I would imagine.
And any chance that DJ Moore is actually being dragged down in a strange way by how good this room is, plus Cole Kmet? Like, if DJ Moore, if there was only one of these guys instead of two of these guys plus Cole Kmet, could DJ Moore be higher?
Statistically.
He's going to lose opportunities because of this group.
Statistically.
Right?
But he's the home run threat. I mean, he's a guy that can catch a ball and turn it into a touchdown.
Oh, sure. But I just wonder, like, if you took Roma Dunze off of this list.
But these other guys will catch balls in the red zone, right?
He'd be in the teens.
DJ Moore is not the red zone.
See,
would DJ Moore be in the teens if you took Roma Dunze
off
the list?
Yes, but that would be great for DJ Moore's fantasy football profile. But reality football,
I'm just wondering if you agree with that idea or not, if that changes things.
They're going to win. Right? Yeah, perhaps.
And then how high is Cole Kmet in the tight end fantasy world now?
Pretty low.
low.
Uh-huh. I think there are other tight ends that are going to do a lot more damage because they're going to be main targets.
They're going to be needed a lot more than Cole Kmet is.
Yeah.
So I think that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. That guy in Kansas City, he's going to earn his extra money that he made.
Right, but because they're stretching the field. But if you look at it that way, if you look at it that way.
And he was at the Miami Grand Prix.
I saw that.
That guy's everywhere.
He's everywhere.
What does he do? Is he just on the party tour?
And you got plenty of time. You get plenty of time to get in shape.
Where's his girlfriend? Is she back at work? Harris tour going on?
She's wherever she wants to be.
No, she's still working hard, man. She just released another double album.
It wouldn't shock me.
312.
I'd listen to it, too.
312-644-6767. That's the telephone number. We're going to get to your calls next. It's Mully and Haw on The Score.
Mornings with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
I mean, I think everybody knows it's been a little bit of a grind. For me, I think just what I'm so thankful for is a staff that believes in me and speaks a lot of life into me, and players that always have my back and just can consistently remind me of who I am. And at the end of the day, we've been winning, which is all that matters. But today was a good day, a good step in the right direction. So, yeah, just very thankful for a lot of amazing people here.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score. That is the voice of Dansby Swanson. He was back to being a baseball star instead of being Mr. Mallory Swanson. He kind of his wife was doing better than him. Is that fair to say?
Well, I think that he was struggling, and he had gone 41 appearances without hitting a home run, and he had hit 186 in his previous 24 games. He needed that as badly as any Cub hitter did. And so
Right. Post-game,
Taylor McGregor got him the field. It was a really good interview because it also spoke to – she noticed after the home run, he went up to Dustin Kelly, went up to John Maley, the Cubs hitting instructors and coaches, and had nice words for them because they have been working at getting him out of the funk that he was in. And Dansby Swanson is so ultra aware of everything going on, almost with everybody on that team, that it's nice to see him have success because the Cubs need him to hit. And he had a great day defensively. And as we mentioned earlier, Pat Hughes kind of projected that and predicted that would lead to success at the plate. He gets the home run, line drive into left center, and Cubs needed that one. They needed that series, and it's nice to see him swinging a bat again. He needs to keep it going.
I think he's a hell of a baseball player, and I don't think that they really look at it as kind of how would you say, like there's ever been any doubt as to him coming out of it, him getting better. And you know, he's just a guy who's been around long enough, you don't worry about him. Was there a couple of missteps, a couple of defensive snafus along the way, which is weird for him, but I think all is well.
His timing was off.
His
timing is definitely off, and maybe it just takes having some success in a big moment like he did on Sunday to snap him out of that. But they definitely need him to be the guy that he has been on the back of his baseball card offensively. You know what you're going to get defensively, even though he's had more errors this year than he probably ever has to start a season. It's the offense that they really could use, because without Bellinger, without Suzuki, they need somebody to step up. Ian Happ has been struggling a little bit lately too. So it's been kind of a tough sledding for the Cubs offense.
312-644-6767. That's the number. Let's try Kevin. Kevin's in Palatine. Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, guys. So our discussion the other day, you know, we talk about it. The Cubs can't say it's too early, even though I know the manager keeps saying that. The Padres just pulled off a huge trade. And that guy's a maniac, the guy that runs that team, because he doesn't wait for anything. So we need a closer. We got to go get one. So I don't want any of these baseball reporters telling you guys that no one makes a trade yet because someone just made a huge one. So that is out the window. It's nice to see Dansby coming around. Mully, you said earlier, this starting pitching needs
more love, because Imanaga and our dude who threw yesterday was great. And just one more thing, I'm just going to talk stats, because you guys know how I feel about this player. No one's given a $5 scratch-off ticket to a completely injury-prone. Eloy has a 291 on base. He has a 95 OPS. That is way below league average. He's got a 688 OPS. He's a one-trick pony. He's not even hitting for average. He doesn't get on base. No one's giving up anything for him, as you guys were told all offseason by every reporter that came on the station. Nobody wants him. And then my guy Destino saying maybe a $25 scratch-off. Come on, dude. Those are the $1 scratch-offs. No one wants him. He's not good. You guys just got to let it go. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate the phone call. You know, as for A.J. Preller of the Padres, what he said in explaining the trade now for Luis Arraez, who's making an impact already, he had four hits in his debut for the Padres. This is a quote that I think is interesting from a Cub perspective. Quote, we could wait or go out and try to get one of the better left-handed bats available and do it now and go get Arraez for 140 games versus going to get somebody else for 60 games at the deadline. I always wonder if you have a need in May, why you have to wait until July to address it. Maybe the market takes shape. Nobody wants to make a deal in May, but you can make deals, especially when you have a pressing issue. And the Padres felt like they had a pressing issue. They needed to go get Arraez for the left-handed bat. The Cubs' issue in the bullpen is just as pressing, if not more. I wouldn't think they should necessarily wait for things to happen. You see some relievers around the league off to good starts. You see the Marlins having a fire sale. Maybe you make a call to Florida. Maybe you monitor what's going on in Colorado. I think they need to make a move sooner rather than later, especially if Adibert Alzolay can't get out of this funk.
Yeah, well, I think you have to operate as if he's not going to get out of this funk. I don't think you can make any kind of assumption right
now.
You're
out on him?
Well, I'm not entirely out on him, but I'm at a point where I think he needs an imaginary injury so you can give him a couple weeks, take a breath, and get him in the pitching lab and then figure out exactly what is different from last year to this year and what he's doing differently and what I think he's a guy I would invest time in. I just don't know that I would keep rolling him out there right now. So I think you got to do something. And I think they're going to need bullpen help before the year is over. They are. So, you know.
They need it now.
What you just said.
They're going to need bullpen help before the week is over.
What you just said, why not do it now? If you're going to do it, get the most value from it by doing it immediately.
Right.
So I guess the Cubs might have more players in their system than San Diego does after they made a couple of moves, right?
They're so aggressive. They've raided their system.
Yes, they have.
So the Cubs are going to be ranked higher. Yep. Mason Miller is going to cost a lot, and he's under control by the A's. Plus, by the way, the Oakland A's are serious about winning this season. They're actually one of the biggest surprises in MLB. We'll talk to John Heyman at 7:25 about how surprised he is by the A's start.
I want to go back to the conversation we had about the most popular athlete in Chicago.
Okay, good.
Because a texter suggests someone else, and I kind of want to stop for a second and think about that and talk about that. And it's interesting because there's other stuff going on. It's Molly and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.